Okay, we continue in the Tanya with the commentary of the Chassidus Mufares. We're on page Resh Mem Beis, in the middle of the page. We've been discussing the idea of that Kedusha means that the Shekhinah rests upon something, and the Shekhinah rests on someone who is nullifies himself before Hashem, like Malachim and the Jewish people. The Malachim actively have it, and Jewish people, as we said, in a potential state, have it. Now he's going to get to where you don't have the Shekhinah resting. Avol, ma she'ena botel etzel yisparach, but those that don't nullify themselves before Hashem, elohu dover nifrat bifnatzmo, but it's rather something holds itself as something separate from Hashem, eina mekabel chayuso miktoshe shal kodesh baruch hu bebechinas pnimis hakedusha mahusa v'atzmus b'chura atzmo. It does not receive its light, its life, from the holiness of Hashem, from the inner holy aspect of the essence of God's honor itself. Ella rather, mibichinas acharaim, but rather from the back. That's what the Tanya says. So the Chassidus verse explains this comment. He says, even though Hashem doesn't dwell and rest except on something that nullifies itself before Hashem, Mikol Malkam still null, Gam b'sitra achara, even when we're dealing with the sitra achar, the other side, that doesn't nullify itself to Hashem, you should know, Yesh Chiyos Alokis, it still has a godly life force that's keeping it alive. Why? Because nothing can exist without God's life force in it. Nothing can exist without the will of God. But the difference is, since the sitra achar has no nullification to Hashem, anything from the other side does not nullify itself to Hashem. It doesn't receive its life from the inner aspect of Kedusha, which is the essence of Hashem, but rather from the aspect of the back. Klomer, meaning to say, there's two ways to receive life from the holiness of Hashem. Those who receive life from the aspect of the inner aspect of holiness and the essence of Hashem himself. Klomer, meaning to say, receiving life from the innermost aspect of Hashem's holiness, hainu shemaus hakdusha halokis nirgeshes b'chiyusu, that the essence of Hashem's holiness is felt from this life. It's a life force that you feel it inside of you. That's direct. You mamish feel it. Ulchenu nikras hashra. That's called hashra. Hashra means to dwell, to rest. You feel the presence of Hashem resting inside of you. It's a drawing forth of Hashem into your existence. Why? Because the holiness is found in a revealed way. That life you only can receive if you nullify yourself mamish to Hashem. So that's, you're getting direct energy, as the company is. You're getting from Hashem the direct energy, and you feel the direct energy. It's another aspect where you receive life from the aspect of the rear. Just in an external way. Only a little bit of light illuminates from Hashem. In the bracket says, that's why it's called the rear. Just like the back of a person as opposed to the front of a person. If you look at a person, the inner aspect of his soul and his essence reveals itself more on the face, where you find the forces and the senses that are much more lofty of the person. But from the back, you got life from the soul as well in the back of a person. That's only from the aspect of external a little bit. Chol dover shein a bottle of Kodesh Baruch Hu, anything that's not nullified to Hashem, mekabel chiyus menu yisbarach rak mechinas acharayim. It gets life from Hashem only from, as it were, the back of Hashem. Shall kedusha of holiness vilu pnimius umalus kedusha, but the inner content and essence of kedusha einim eskalas bechiyus is not revealed in that life. See footnote 20 at the bottom. V'yesh lahos, if we can add, shatorach harayim, what's the expression? The back. It's not only speaking of the lower level in terms of quality of the light and life, which is only from an outer aspect, right? Elagam, but also ala heder hachefetz vachuka shel mashpia. It also reflects a lack of desire and longing from the one that's bestowing the life. Lashpia chizu to give. It's begrudgingly. It's a quality that's less, and it's a begrudging quality. And we'll see. Look, it says, look in the Iyunim in Oz Kuftes. So let's go to the back.
But that's actually the receiver, really. It's not the.
Well, hold on, hold on.
Hashem giving less. It's
no, it's Hashem giving less.
Hashem is giving less?
Kuftes. Let's see Kuftes, which is on page Shin Samach Zion, on the left-hand page, is Shin Samach Zion. Os Kuftes. Kiperish Acharayim, what does back mean? It's like a person giving something to his enemy against his will. It's like he throws it over his shoulder. Because he turns his face away because he hates him so much. Kach lamala, so it is above. Bechinas panim, the aspect of the face, hu pnimiyas haratzon ha'elyon v'chevtzo mitis shishachavetz Hashem. Panim, the word face comes from the word pnimiyas, which means inner. It's the inner desire that he wants. Lashpiach yus l'chol akor v'lov besitzer t'kushusha. He wants to bestow from the side of holiness. That's when it's face to face. And you want to do it. Havasitra achar, v'atumah, but the tumah on the other side, he tovas Hashem ashasaneh. Hashem hates that. And he doesn't bestow life into it from that true desire that he wants. It's like he throws it from behind his back to his enemy. That's called the back of the desire of Hashem. So you have an enemy, you throw it in the back. I don't want to look at you. Klomer, meaning to say. When a person has to give something to his enemy that he doesn't want to, so his heart isn't invested in this giving. Therefore, he turns his face away. He doesn't want to be seen and to be revealed before his enemy. When he gives it, when you're giving to your enemy, I don't want to see, I don't want to look at you. Here, take it. Whatever you do behind you, fine. You know, imagine, I'll say it simple. A bitter divorce, and the husband has to give support payments. I think he's going to come to her in the house and say, here, have a cup of coffee. Here, dear, I'd like to give it to you. You can take it out of my bank account. I don't want to look at you. Right? He's got a supporter. Doesn't have to support her. He's got a supporter. But he can't stand looking at her. But he's got a supporter. Going to throw him in jail. It's the same way. You give it without looking. And there's no ratzon at all. And that's the same thing over here. Kibbe emes ein hu rotze b'nesina zu. He doesn't want to give. Rak b'nei siva sadis. But for side reasons, hu much was say, he has to do it. Remember, there has to be free will choice in the world. Hashem has to nurture negative realities so that there is free will choice in the world. But Hashem would prefer that he wouldn't have to support these things. Avo p'nimi yuso. But the inner desire, true desire, and enemy sauce beneath, you don't find it in such a giving. The kach benimshal, so it is in the realities of this world. Even though there's an action of bestowal to the other side, Hashem does bring forth, draw forth existence in life. There isn't a hashra, there isn't the descent and the revelation of this giving. No resting. The receiver does not feel the giver. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Hashem. He doesn't feel Hashem as he gets. If Hashem is giving us life, why don't the Rishayim believe in Hashem? Because Hashem is giving it from the back. He's giving it through, you know, it comes out of your bank account. You work every month, you get from your bank account, and Hashem begrudgingly gives it to you. And you can't even tell He's giving it to you. And that's the way Hashem wants it. I don't want you to realize I'm giving it to you. Because Hashem really doesn't want to give it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I explained the other stuff outside already. That's as far as we gotta go. Okay. So that's a better explanation of what's going on over there. Okay, now we go back to, we're in the brackets on page Resh Mem Gimel. Now, V'hoylech Mavar, Oifen Hashpoh Achiyas Mu'ata Zum, Mebechinas Acharayim, L'sitch Achara, Udvar V'nifradim Elokos. Now he's going to explain the mechanism of this limited bestowal from the back to this other sides and the things that are separated from Hashem. Okay, but so you see, if a person doesn't live his life the way Hashem wants him to live, you know, and that's what we say all the time. That's the pshat and the bracha we say every day. Borech oleinu es hashana hazos. Borech oleinu. We're saying Hashem, we want you to bless us in this year. We want you to give us the blessings. I want to send. The bracha is saying, you know, you're going to get your parnasa anyway. Hashem decided parnasa in Rosh Hashanah, didn't He? He said how much you're going to get. So now the question is, so what are you praying for? There's a lot of answers to that question. What do I got to pray? Hashem decided what I'm getting. He decided my parnasa, everything except Shabbos expenses, Yontif expenses, it's all decided. So what are you praying for parnasa for? You prayed for that in Rosh Hashanah and He gave you whatever you're going to get. So the answer is, Hashem's going to give you parnasa, there's no question about it. But is He going to give it from the front or is He going to give it from the back? And that depends on many factors. The simplest factor as it relates to parnasa is, are you honest in business? Are you doing what Hashem wants? Are you doing everything that Hashem wants you to do? If you're doing that, then Hashem is giving it to you from the face. If you are mevatel yourself to Hashem, if you nullify yourself to Hashem, and you, in other words, do you come to Hashem every day? And this is the real pshat. When you say Borech Aleinu, you are being mevatel vis-a-vis, when it comes to making money, you're being mevatel yourself to Hashem. And you're saying, Hashem, you are the one who's providing the parnasa. So I am doing nothing merely than just going through the motions of the curse that I have to go through. That's a person who's mevatel himself to Hashem. And when he's mevatel himself to Hashem, as you go to work, so the money is coming straight from Hashem. Straight. And you feel it's coming from Hashem. And you know this is mamash, Hashem's gift He gave to me. And then you're going to use it in a way that's meant to be used. It will be used in a blessed way. So if the person's meant to make $100,000 a year, so you're going to get it. So you can either get it in a way that you feel your mamash got it from Hashem. Your mamash feel like you got it from Hashem. Because you were mevatel yourself to Hashem. And you feel that Hashem is giving it to you. And then it's going to be, and then if Hashem gives you in a direct way, it's always a blessing. It's always a blessing. Or you could be dishonest in business. Guess what? You're going to make the same $100,000. Same $100,000. But what? It's coming from the back. Hashem's just throwing it behind his shoulder. He says, no, I don't want to know about you. I got to keep you alive, but I don't want to know about you. And therefore, when money comes in, you don't feel it's coming from Hashem. If you don't feel it's coming from Hashem, you're not going to use it in the ways that Hashem wants you to use it. And then that money will not be a blessing, it will be a curse. You'll buy things you don't need. You'll buy things that will be destructive in your life. You'll buy drugs, chvais. Because that money did not come directly from Hashem. It's coming from the other side. And you don't feel good with it. You don't feel any connection to Hashem with it and any of the gifts that Hashem gives you. So therefore, what are we davening for? We're davening for Borech Oleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, as Hashem Azos. Hashem, please, we want you to bless us. I want to come straight from you. So what's that really saying? It's really saying, Hashem, I hope I can be mevatel myself to you when I'm engaged in business. And of course, Hashem sends guys tests. It's tests all the time. You know, if you mevatel yourself to Hashem, the first thing you have to do is come to Minyan. To daven in a Minyan. Because if Hashem, you're giving me the parnasa, I have to go to Minyan. And if I come a little late to work, I'm still going to get the parnasa. Because then it's going to come from you. Because, you know, I got to be at work at 7 o'clock. I can't make it to Minyan. So if you can't make it to Minyan, then you ain't getting it from me. I don't give to guys who don't go to Minyan. I didn't send you to work to not go to Minyan. I sent you to work to go to Minyan. So you don't go to Minyan, you're not mevatel yourself to me. What do you mean? How are you expecting to make a living if I go to Minyan? I got to be downtown at 7 o'clock. Who says you got to be downtown at 7 o'clock? Who's giving you the money? If you know Hashem's giving you the money, give it the way He wants you to do it. So then if you're doing it, Hashem's still going to give it. It ain't going to come from me. And therefore, you don't feel a geschmack in your work. When you're doing the work and the money's coming, the way the money's coming, you don't feel Hashem is giving you the money. And I say, believe me, if you felt Hashem was giving you the money, you'd use it differently. If you don't feel you're getting it from Hashem, you think you're getting it from yourself. Look how good a businessman I am. Oh, wow. I'm an amazing businessman. I make the money now. You make the money now. You don't feel anything about Hashem. And therefore, you're going to use it the way you want to use it. It has nothing to do with being with Hashem. That's the essence of Berech Aleinu. Hashem wants you to bless us. It's coming straight from you. And therefore, I'm doing it in ways that the Torah has different halachas about making money. There's a way the Torah says. If you're doing the way the Torah says and you're doing it, there's Kedusha there. There's Kedusha in your workplace. And the money is coming in big Kedusha. And you feel it's coming from Hashem. And you're going to use the money the way Hashem wants you to use it. Well, there's going to be no Kedusha in the workplace. And then it comes. But it doesn't. You don't feel like it's coming from Hashem. And you don't use the way it's meant to be done. And then that money turns out to be a curse for the person. And not a blessing for the person. So really like everything in tefillah, you're not asking. You don't come to ask from Hashem. The only thing you're at, you know, if you're going to get the money you're going to get, how you're going to get the money, and that depends totally on you. So that's the reflexive activity of prayer. In other words, as you're asking, you're defining who you are. You're saying, Hashem, I'm a person who wants to get it straight from you. And therefore, when you're making that tefillah, you by definition are committing yourself to all the mitzvahs that relate to making money that come out of the Torah. Do you hear? So what are you really davening for? Hashem, please help me be honest in business. That's the only reason you go to work. To make the money, you're not going to work. Hashem's giving you the money. He's giving you the money anyway. You don't have to go to work, per se. You're going because it's a klala. It's a klala. Okay, I gotta go to work. But help me when I go to work. Where else in davening is there that you should be honest in business? You know, isn't that one of the most important things in the day? A good part of your day, you have to make money. So there should be the whole aspect of nosata v'nasata b'amuna. One of the questions on the final exam. Did you engage in business with emuna? Did you engage in business with emuna? Did I have a Muna? Did I not have a Muna? So obviously, that's an important thing. Every day, you hope you're doing with a Muna. How are you going to know you're doing with a Muna? You have to do it the way Hashem wants you to do it. So that's what's really behind it. And if you do it that way, then you know the money's coming directly from you. That's what we talked about on the Wednesday night class, which is, Mike, you really will enjoy that class. And you know, the turn Erev Shabbos into Friday into Erev Shabbos. It's like, it's really deep stuff. It's deep stuff. So that's how he explains the idea when Hashem asks you that question, Nasasa v'nasata b'muna. Did you do business with emuna? Which the simple meaning is, were you honest in business? It's a simple meaning. But the deeper meaning, he explains beautifully the idea of shomer v'zochar b'dibur echad. We know that the giving of the Torah was with the word shomer and zochar, and shomer applies to the positive aspects, and zochar, the positive aspects, and shomer, the passive aspects. And I can't give the whole shir over now, but when you're preparing for Shabbos, what is Shabbos? Shabbos is feeling that Hashem is giving everything to you directly. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. In the world to come, you know your existence is just from Hashem. Nobody's fooling themselves in the world to come. I made my own life. What do you mean? The whole life came because Hashem is giving you life right now. You're sitting right next to him. You can't fool yourself. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. You have to prepare for that. He who doesn't prepare for Shabbos is not enjoying the Shabbos. What does it mean? So it means, how do you prepare? How do you prepare? You have two aspects of Shabbos, Zohar and Shomer. You have to do, and then Shomer, from the expression of Aviv Shomer Sadabar, Avram, Yaakov anticipated that Yosef's dream would come true. There's the aspect of anticipation. Anticipation. So, Zohar v'shomer means you're doing things and you're anticipating the same way. So how do you fulfill this in preparing for the Shabbos? There's a part of Shabbos that's called Zohar, the action, making Kiddush, eating food, singing smiros, learning Torah. That's Zohar. Shomer is safeguarding the Shabbos. Not just simply not to do 39 malachas. But Shomer on Shabbos means you're anticipating on Shabbos. You're anticipating Mashiach on Shabbos. You're anticipating. You're waiting for it to happen. So how do you wait for Mashiach to come? Mashiach is when God will totally reveal himself to us. I want that to be. So how do you prepare for that? How do you prepare for that? You think it's going to come by itself? For you? It's something you have to anticipate the whole week long. So how do you anticipate the whole week long? So it explains like this. Person has to go to work. Why do you have to go to work? Because that's the rest of the mission. When you go to work, are you doing a mitzvah? Hopefully, yes. Hashem said you have to go to work. He created the world, so wait, you gotta work. Now, before we sinned, it could have been just working as a kohen in the Beis Hamikdash. Adam HaRishon just had to bring korbanos and sing praises to Hashem. That was the work. You decided to sin, okay, the work's gonna be out in the field. But Hashem wants you to go and work in the field. He wants you to go out to work every day. How much time is another story. But he wants you to go out. Why? He wants you to go out. He wants you to try to make a parnas. But then, as you notice, for example, but since Hashem created you as an imperfect person, so there's a shtick, a lack of bitachon when you go out there. That's what it is for everybody. Created you without perfection. You have to work on your life to perfect yourself. He creates you without perfection. So that explains, for example, why people are workaholics. Why do you have to work so many hours? What do you mean? Gotta make it happen. But if you believe in the Shem, you don't have to work so hard. But then what happens? What happens? Let's say he's working hard on a business deal. And, you know, he worked hours and hours and they're going to close the deal very soon. And then what happens? An unscrupulous individual steals his whole business. He loses it all. So if you're a goy, what do? You kill the guy. In many ways, you know, figuratively or not. You kill him. If you're a Jew, if you're a God-fearing Jew, what do you say? It's Bashert. That's what Hashem wanted. That's what Hashem wanted. What does that mean? That's what Hashem wanted. Well, that's what Hashem wanted. But what about all the work you were doing? But it was what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted me not to get it. Then we turn to the guy and say, if that's what Hashem wanted, so do you think Hashem wants you to work all day? So there's a kind of a hypocrisy within every human being. On the one end, and why? Because we're not perfect. We work very hard. And when we're working, we think, you know, if we don't work, it's not going to happen. And it's not bashert. And then, when the business still doesn't go through, so it's bashert azoy. That's what Hashem wanted. So what does that mean? So when you say it's bashert azoy, what are you really saying? You worked hard to make the parnas, it ain't coming now. So where's the parnas going to come from? Hashem will take care of it. Oh, all of a sudden Hashem's going to take care of it. The whole day long Hashem wasn't going to take care of it. Only you were going to take care of it. Now Hashem's going to take care of it. So he says, that's pshat when it says, Shomer v'zocher b'dibur echot. Shomer and Zocher were given at the same time by Hashem, and they're always at the same time. Even today they're at the same time. Meaning to say, that Zocher means to do the positive things, to do the positive things what Hashem wants. Positive thing is to go to work. It's a positive thing to go to work. Shomer means anticipate Hashem going to provide for you. It's the anticipation. Shomer means Aviv Shomer Sadavar. He's waiting for it to happen. So you're waiting for it to happen. Shomer really means in the deepest place of your neshama, you know it's going to come from Hashem. And you have to wait. You have to wait till Hashem is going to bring it. It's an anticipation. So there's this simultaneous contradiction in your life. Zohar, go do it. But on the other hand, Shomer, anticipate for it to happen. So if you're not such a fully developed yid, so you'll work like a workaholic, and then when things don't work out, you say, this is Bashert Min Shamayim, and then you continue to become a workaholic. And there's this constant hypocrisy. Shomer v'zocher b'dibur echad. But Hashem doesn't want it to always be that way. He wants it to end off, go do your work. But as you're working, as you realize, after a few times, you realize, you know, at the end of the day, I see it's Hashem is doing all this. At the end of the day, it's Hashem doing all this. So what's my work at the end of the day? My work is only a tool to come to Emunah in Hashem. And every time I work, then you get smart. You say, you get into the car. I'm getting into the car. I'm going into rush hour traffic. Hashem, you're going to decide what kind of traffic I'm going to have. You're going to decide if my clients are going to come today. You're going to decide if I'm going to do such a good job or not going to do a good job. And then all of a sudden, that zohar, that doing, is mixed up with shomor. And every time, everything I'm doing, I'm anticipating how Hashem is going to bless it. Now, to do that, you have to be mavatal yourself to Hashem. You have to be mavatal yourself. You have to say, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I have a master's. I have a doctorate. I'm a nothing. You know how much work I put into this? Yeah, you're still a nothing. You're still a garnished. If you're a garnished, then Hashem will bring the Shekhinah down in your office. In your office, the Shekhinah will come down. That's what Hashem wants. That's what Hashem wants. So the Shekhinah in shul, it shouldn't be too hard. Shekhinah in the office. The field that Hashem is giving you in the office. Now, that's spreading Hashem all around the world. That's tikkun olam. So that's zohar, shomor v'zohar b'dibur echad. That's mamish, you're doing what Hashem wants, and as you're doing it, you're realizing that this is exactly all going to depend on what Hashem wants. So your zohar of your action, you're being mavatel, you're nullifying it to Hashem as you're doing it, and that's what Hashem wants. He wants you to work, thinking about Him as you're working, and knowing that He is the one enabling you to do the work, and it's totally going to come from Hashem. Shomer, you're anticipating. I anticipate that it's going to come from Hashem. And guess what? That is the preparation for Shabbos. That is how you prepare for Shabbos. Forget about, of course, yeah, you cooked the cholent. I already made my cholent. I made it last night. I cooked the cholent. Fine. You cleaned the house. That's all the superficial parts of preparing for Shabbos. But the deeper hachana for Shabbos, because what Shabbos? Shabbos is shomer v'zachar b'dibur echad. And Shabbos, your shomer Shabbos means I'm yearning for what? I'm yearning for the Yom Shekula Shabbos. The whole Shabbos. We're supposed to do the whole Shabbos. You're yearning for the ultimate Shabbos. If you look in the Zmiros, read the Zmiros tonight carefully. Look at the English on any of the Zmiros. It keeps telling you what Hashem is doing. Nothing about you, man. Every Zemer, Yom Zemachu, but Mikol Yom is most honors of the day. How Hashem provides this, Hashem gives this, Hashem gives this. And then the last paragraph is always, and Hashem should build a base of Mikdash. You build a base of Mikdash. L'mikdash she'echtuv l'kaidish kutshim. The last paragraph is, I see Hashem, 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 and all these things. And at the end, Hashem bring Mashiach. That's the ikker of the zohar and the shomer, right? How are you a shomer Shabbos Jew? What does shomer Shabbos mean? So on a simple level means shomer. The simple level means you don't do 39 activities. That's a simple level. So of course, if you're going to work on Shabbos, and you know for sure He's not making it happen for you, you're anticipating nothing. That's base level. If you don't have that, then don't even enter. But now that you're not working on Shabbos, so now what's the next mandrake? It'd be Shomer Shabbos. You still have to be a Shomer Shabbos. Another level of Shomer Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos means what? I'm anticipating the Shabbos. I can anticipate Shabbos. It's Shabbos already. No. I'm anticipating the Yom Shekula Shabbos. Why? Because I had a taste of the Shabbos now. I'm tasting the Yom Shekula Shabbos now. If I'm tasting it, I really want to feel it. Really, a whole week long, you have to be yearning for the Yom Shekula Shabbos. But it's kind of hard. You're busy working this, and you think maybe this, maybe it's not me. So then on the weekday, all you can yearn for is Shabbos. I'll yearn for this coming Shabbos. But when Shabbos really comes, now, what's going to be the enjoyment of Shabbos? What's the real enjoyment of Shabbos? You know what the enjoyment of Shabbos is? You're sitting down, and you got your food, and you got your family. And Baruch Hashem, you see the brachas came true. At the end of the day, the cholent's here, the chicken's here, you had to pay for that. Who paid for that? So you think it was you, or you think it was Hashem? So you remember during the week, as you were working, I'm doing Zohar, but I really know I'm waiting for Hashem to make the deal close. And however He'll make it close will be the good way. It's not, you know, I'm waiting, it's only going to be the way I like it. I'm anticipating Hashem will finish it up. It'll come out in a way that's the best way for me. So you're anticipating Hashem the whole week long. Every moment you're anticipating Hashem. Ah, that's keeping Shabbos even during the week. And then when you feel that way, then you come to Friday night. Now you start chazering over the week. You start reviewing the events of the week. That's what Shabbos is, chazara. Yeah, whatever you learn during the week, you learn this, you learn Gemara, you learn Mishnah Berurah, you gotta review it on Shabbos. That's your enjoyment. That's what I gained in the week. But now you have to review your challenges and your machshavas and your anticipations during the week. So I remember on Tuesday, we planned this huge, huge meeting. And I gave the secretary a lot of work to do. And all the big executive vice presidents were coming in on this day. And my presentation had to be ready. And I gave her all the notes to write over and make it into a beautiful presentation. That was her job. And she was sick the whole week. The people came. I wasn't prepared. I did my work. But at the end of the day, it didn't come out. So now Shomer, I said, Hashem, I'm anticipating how you're going to make this come out in the best way possible. And now the difference between one and the other is very simple. The secretary doesn't do the job. You have two responses. Either you start yelling at the secretary. What kind of idiot were you? I told you 3 weeks in advance we needed this. What were you doing? I told you shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have that. You wouldn't be ready. And you weren't ready. And look what's going to happen. And now look how many averes you did. Look how many averes you did. You probably spoke Lashon Hara about her. You were Onaz Dvarim, you hurt her feelings. And if she's a widow, you're hurting a widow. And then you decide, maybe, you know what, I'm not going to pay her on time, because to show her, just teach her a lesson, and you do that Avera. You tell everybody else how bad she is. It's Lashon Hara. You imagine how much tumas in that office now? You're still going to get the business. Hashem's going to give it to you from the backside. He ain't getting it from the front. Then what do you enjoy on Shabbos? Garnished. Or you could do like this. You could say, listen, I understand. Okay, everyone's human. Okay, please, I hope next time maybe you'll be more careful. But okay, you still have a job. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. And then what happens? Whatever happens, happens. Could be the business turns out good anyway. They say, you know what? It was a lousy presentation, but we like it anyway. We'll give you the business. He says, see, I got the business anyway. Or they'll say, you know, it doesn't good. We're not getting you the business. The friend says, it's been Shemaim, I'm not supposed to get the business. It's been Shemaim, I was supposed to get the business. And this is how it's not supposed to get the business. By her not doing it. But it was been Shemaim, I was supposed to get the business. Then you come Shabbos, and you go over what happened. And you feel amazing. You say, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, I passed the test. Baruch Hashem, I felt Hashem. Hashem, I'm enjoying the fact that I can reflect back on what I did properly. And you know what? If this is what this world's like about, and now I'm tasting what the next world's going to be. In the next world, Hashem, you're going to be rewarding me for all these things I did. Ooh, I'm waiting for the next world to come. If I'm feeling a little good now, imagine how much better I'm going to feel when I'm totally being mevatel myself to you. That's preparing for Shabbos. You understand? Hey, prepare for Shabbos. That's the real Shabbos. And then you're going to fulfill Shomer. The Shomer Nesol Shabbos, you're yearning and longing for that ultimate Shabbos to feel that. But what's it all revolving around? It's all revolving with what the Tanya is saying here. You can get from Hashem straight or from the back. So now if you're the guy, right, you're nice to the secretary, you're accepting, and he said, this is Min Shamayim, and I'm anticipating Hashem's going to finish it off for me, then you're Mavata yourself to Hashem. And then you mamish will feel how it's coming from Hashem. Mamish. You get a mamish feel how it's coming from Hashem. Hashem is giving it to you straight to your face. Even if it's less money. But you mamish feel it's coming from Hashem right to you. And with that money is what you buy your chicken on Shabbos. And your cholent. And now when you're eating the chicken, Shabbos, it says mamish comes from Hashem. And I feel amazing about it. I can feel it. Mamish feel it's great. Well, the other guy who's yelling and screaming at the secretary, whatever money God gives you, it's like he gives his divorcee. Get it from the back face. I don't want you to know it came from me. So it didn't come from him. So guess what? Comes Erev Shabbos. It's not coming from him. So now, both of these businessmen, it's Friday, 4 o'clock, short Friday, they gotta leave the office. One guy says, listen, it's all from Shemam, I'm leaving at 12. That's the halacha says. I'm leaving at 12. What about all this work? You know what? Hashem's taking care of it. It's being ably taken care of. I don't gotta worry about it. It's as if all my work is done. Finished. And now I'm at home, I don't worry about this. The only thing I'm looking back on the week was my Torah mitzvahs. The other guy, who's thinking he's doing it all himself, he says, what do you mean? I'm going to leave at 12? You crazy? I can't leave at 12. Shabbos is what, 4:42? I'm leaving at 4:30. I'm only 10 minutes away from the office. I'll come in after the 18 minutes. And then when he's home, what's he think about the whole Shabbos, about his business? You call that Shabbos? Ah, he's still eating cholent. They're both eating cholent. One's eating cholent that came right, of Hashem, right out of Hashem's pot, and the other guy's taking it out of his own pot. There's no Shabbos in that. It's the degree that you're mavatl yourself. That's what it's all about. That's what you're praying every day. When you pray Bereich Aleinu with this kavana, that's how you are being making hachonas for Shabbos. That's the real hachonas for Shabbos. You say, Hashem, I want the money to come from you. I want to be mavatl myself to you. And it's not only in business. It's in all of Odas Hashem. What if you're working on your anger? What if you're working on Amida? You're working on it. You think you're going to succeed by yourself? Adam Rishi before he sinned. Still out of work. He has to work on his personal midos. He has to work on his Avodas Hashem. No, you want to work on your Avodas Hashem. You're working on a midah. You could try all day long. If Hashem's not going to bless you, you're still going to fail. You're working on your anger. You're working on your anger. You're working on your laziness. You're working on it. You know it's a problem. It's a problem. You're working on it. So are you working on it by yourself or are you working on it with Hashem? So you're working on it by yourself, you're not going to get much bracha, you're not going to feel Hashem's closeness. You're going to say, I guess I can't get this done. On the other hand, you say, listen, Hashem, I'm going to try, but I know I'm anticipating that you are going to help me finish it off. Shomer v'zachar b'dibur echad. It's coming together. One says, beautiful, beautiful words from Rav Schwartz in the Bavai Mishkan Evna. More detailed discussion if you go to the that class. But you're getting the kernel of that. So that's exactly where this is coming from. So you have to, well, Mishnah, we should have better kavana, deeper kavana. We say Bereich Aleinu today. A better kavana. You'll be able to leave work. When you leave work, you can leave with more ease. Say, Baruch Hashem. I don't got to worry about it anymore. There's nothing to worry about. Hashem's going to take care of it all because I'm anticipating this Yeshua. And when you're anticipating it, then Hashem says, you're anticipating me. Here I am. You're anticipating. I want it to come. So since you want it, I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to feel I'll give it to you. I couldn't get less. I don't anticipate it from you. So you know, I said, but you idiot, you. How do you think you can live, breathe? It's coming from me anyway. You're not even anticipating it? Go get it from the bank. I don't want to look at you. And you don't even feel Hashem gave it to you. That's the whole difference. Both people could have the same challenges. They both have the secretary who messed up. They both. One guy says, I feel Hashem here the whole time. The guy says, I don't know what's going on. Why does Hashem hate me? That's the difference. Okay, and it's very, very important. So this is the practical part of this Kabbalah. It has to always be a practical, maisa. That's those theories from the back, from the front. Good, spooky stuff. But what does it mean? If you feel it's coming from Hashem, you think it's coming from Hashem, you think you're going to give tzedakah from them? If you think it's not coming from Hashem, you're going to give a tenth away? What are you talking about? It came from me. I don't want to give it away. It's very hard work. If you know, at the end of the day, it all came from Hashem anyway. Oh, I'm so lucky. It all came from Hashem. The least I could do is give a tenth. And you do it with a smile. Right? Okay. Anyway, he's going to explain now how this comes in such a difficult way. The backside way. So he explains, Sheyordin, mi madrega la madrega, riva vais madregos. It comes down level after level after many levels. Meaning to say, Kidei sheor eloki yichya v'yekayim dover she behargosha sohu nivrid me'elokus. In order for the light of Hashem to maintain anything where the receiver feels distant from Hashem, doesn't feel connected to Hashem. So how does it, Hashem's got to give him something. If Hashem doesn't give him life, he dies. Right? So Hashem has to give him. He's divorced from him. He's got to give him. So how's he going to give it? Tzurach ha'or l'redes madregas ravavos madregas. He has to go from many different levels. Madrega, level after level, oilam acham, world after world. How? Next two words. Bishtalshus almost through the chain connection of the worlds. This we learned already in the, what do you call it? Never Shechaim. I don't know why. Nuth Chaim could work. Never Shechaim. All the Kabbalistic form. Bishtalshus. What's Bishtalshus? What does that mean? Perusha literally means a chain. Shekol madrega above, and imshachas beseder v'adrug madrega malamala. Every level is drawn forth from a level above it, and it descends one to the next and next. Kamo shel sheles hasiyut metabas, like a chain that's made out of links. Shekol tabas achuzav k'shur betabas olveh. Each link is connected and tied to a different link. All the spiritual worlds, the world of us, the world of Atzilus, down into the world of Bria, into the world of Yitzira, into the world of Asiya, from way from Hashem up to all different worlds, it filters through. So the worlds do this way. And the amount of life force of Hashem gets less and less and less. There's less apparentness of Hashem in these different worlds. Next page. Derech ilah ve'olul, like cause and effect. Ilah ve'olul, cause and effect. In ilah ve'olul, what's cause and effect? Hu kein, it's like, again, Sibo Musubab, same, these are all synonyms of each other. You know, Ila hu ashayrish from Akor. Ila means the root, Sibo the cause. Vadover shenotsamila, the thing that comes out of that, ha Musubab is the, what do you call it? The what I say, the ends, the means and the ends, cause and the effect. Effect. Nikra lul is the effect. Dukumlur, for example. Machshava v'dibor, thought and speech, heim ila v'lul. It's cause and effect. Ha machshava ila, the thought is the cause. Because you're thinking about it. The speech is the effect, because that's what comes out. From the thoughts. Shekein. So, b'tchila, ha'adam choshev, when a person thinks, u'machshavta ha'osios hein ruchnis, thinking of what to say, that's kind of spiritual. V'yosis elu hein ilo, that becomes the cause. Shemen mishtal shus veres osios adibor. Then comes down, chain link down, the letters come into actual speech, which is the effect. It's a much lower level in relation to the thought that's in your mind. But with the speech, the letters become physical, and they enclose themselves in a physical voice. So to the worlds are mishtal shel, they chain link down, of cause effect. So to the lower world, hu alul, that's the effect. It flows and chain links from the top world. You have the cause and effect. You read up a seder. It's a descent in the order. From lower to lower levels. The cause, the effect is below. Lower than the level of the cause. So Hashem gives it, but oh, it goes to so many different levels till it finally gets down to you. It's very, very far away from Hashem. Very far away from Hashem. And that's, if you're a Rasha, that's how it comes in. Now, if you remember, a number of chapters ago, when we said, when you learn Torah, what happens? You learn Torah, the Torah's way up here, what happens to the Torah? Come straight down. Straight down. No ishtashlus. Come straight down. You're mamish with Hashem, mamish. Because that's coming from the face. It's coming from straight. You're a bad boy, you need your parnasa, it's gonna filter. You know, it comes, imagine the divorced husband, he goes to work, he puts the money in his bank, right? She wants to get the money, how's she gonna get it? It goes from his bank, to another bank, till it finally comes to her bank, and then finally she goes to her card, pulls it out, and now she gets the check, and now she has to go down and get the money. Look how it's filtered, look how long it took till it got to her. The other hand, he could have come right over to her house, and says, here's $5,000 for the week. Right? I mean, here's the 5,000. It's from me to you. You know, do you think the lady, when she's divorced, it's a good marshal. It's a good marshal. Think when she's divorced, she takes the money out of the bank. She thinks it's coming from the husband? It's like an automatic thing. I don't even know where it's coming from. It just comes. It just, you think she calls him up once and says thank you? Say thank you. I mean, you should say thank you, no? I mean, even if you got divorced, it's still, he's giving you money. I don't even think he exists. It's just automatic. It's my lawyer got it from me. You know, I talk to the lawyer, I don't even talk to you. It's the same thing. You don't even talk to Hashem, you talk to your lawyer. Everyone has a lawyer, how they get from Hashem. All right, there's more to talk about. We'll have to continue next week in Mirtz Hashem.